Lamar Vikings football fans, and welcome to this edition of the Lamar Vikings Football Coaches Show. I'm Bill Frawley. I'll be doing the internet broadcast play-by-play this season. Joining me today is a special guest, Jim Pointer, who coached the Vikings 7-on-7 team to a 16-1 record this season, including another fantastic performance at the state tournament in College Station. Jim, how are you today?
Bill, I'm doing just great. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. And thank you for joining us today to talk about the 7-on-7 experience. Please, if you would, first tell me a little bit about how you became involved in coaching the 7-on-7 team.
Well, Bill, like most dads and moms these days, I started out coaching my own children up through grade school and various junior high sports. And my middle son... I got to back up from there. All three of the boys played football for Coach Peach at Lamar. And my youngest son, Michael, was a quarterback. In fact, he quarterbacked Eddie's 300th win. Seven-on-seven was just coming into its own in the late 1990s. And, in fact, the first state tournament was in 1998. Although I'm an old offensive lineman from my college football days, it became apparent that 7-on-7 was going to be a great bridge between spring football and fall football. And so I talked to Coach Stallings, who was offensive and quarterback's coach back in that time period, and he said, great, come on out and help us. So I actually started as an assistant coach in the year 2000, and then became the head 7-on-7 coach in 2001.
Well, that's a fascinating story because a lot of, like you said, a lot of these stories do begin with coaching some of our own kids and then working up through the ranks. And that's a great history there with the Lamar program with your sons and playing for the previous coaches, including being part of Coach Peach's 300th win. So when did you and the team begin preparing for this previous 7-on-7 season?
Well, it really there's kind of two phases to it, the administrative phase, if you will, the signing up for tournaments, sending in deposits, that kind of stuff. It literally happens right around the 1st of February. And then, as you can appreciate, in order to field a team with uniforms and, you know, all the logistics that go with a traveling group, whether it's the water, the Gatorade, all those kind of things, so I start – also in February, kind of going around to our corporate sponsors and asking if they would be so kind to continue to help us. And we just have a marvelous group led by First Rate here in town, DS Waters, which makes or distributes Ozarka products, Brad and Tammy Bader, a local company whose kids went through Lamar, who has a great landscaping company. Jay Ryan donating his time for various website activities for us. So it takes a village. And so that happens pre-season. And then the real question you're asking is, when do the kids and I get out there? And what we try to do is get out in March and practice, maybe three or four times a month, mostly, quite frankly, so they get to know not only my assistant coaches, because, you know, each year, since I don't have a kid at Lamar any longer, I don't know the next crop of kids coming up that are sophomores and juniors at all. I know the seniors, of course, a little bit from the year before. And so we began to build some bonds between us by having some preseason practices. And then when we get to April and even into May, when they start spring practices, you know, regular football, by that point we've typically got six or eight practices under our belt, and they're beginning to understand my 7-on-7 plays. As you could probably appreciate, there are things you can do in 7-on-7 because it is touch football that you wouldn't want to do in the fall in terms of route trees, different, you know, quarterbacks not going to get hit. So we can insert some things that we wouldn't do in regular football to go along with Coach DeLay's offensive system. So I think that's one of the things that helps Lamar 7-on-7 get off to fast starts most seasons is we don't wait. Well, let me put it this way. If you waited until spring football is over, you would have a tournament the next day because the 7-on-7 state qualifier tournaments literally start during spring football. And we choose not to. Then, you know, the kids are getting a full dose of tackle football, and they don't need to spend their Saturday, you know, going to a state qualifier. So we wait till it's done, but we don't wait long. I mean, literally, we've had Friday night Lamar spring games that you probably broadcast, and the next morning AM, we're off to a tournament to qualify. Now, this year, as the schedule worked out, we had a week break. So basically our first tournament was Memorial weekend. So they had a week between the end of spring ball and the start of 7-on-7 qualifying games. And that's probably the best for everybody because it gives the kids a chance to transition and frankly get their legs back under them before they start a pretty ambitious 7-on-7 schedule.
Okay. Well, I'm sure there's too many names to remember just off the top of your head or to go all through. If you want to try it, go ahead. But if nothing else, at least who are some of the players that kind of stood out or shined that we might be looking for in action this fall at Cravens Field?
Well, I'll kind of give you an overview first, and then I'll maybe name a few names. But the thing I really liked about this year was its diversity. And we'll just start on the defensive side of the ball. You know, 7-on-7 is not about – necessarily how big you are. It's all about on defense, how quick are your feet, your reaction time, your balance, and then your adherence to good technique, because we play a lot of man defense in 7-on-7. We'll disguise that, and we have some zone packages, but we found in 7-on-7, if you can handle the stress, and by that I mean the physical stress of playing man-to-man defense is, you know, where you're on the hip of an opponent the whole day versus you're responsible for an area of grass on the field. You do that all day long, and you're in tremendous aerobic condition. But the payback is it puts us in better positions to make interceptions or at least get our fingers on the ball and knock it away. So we had a really good group of kids who would sell out physically and who paid attention to detail mentally so that we could play man defense all summer, because that's really part of our sauce, Bill, is playing man defense. On offense, I'm not sure in my 14 years of coaching that I've had a more complete group, and by that I mean we had size. We had a 6'5", 260-pound tight end, a couple of just quick as cat, Wes Welker kind of slot receivers. We had an experienced quarterback whose dad was a quarterback back in his playing days, so he had great DNA and a good player physically and mentally. And then a good group of really tall outside receivers that could really point the ball, really go up and get it. And then a lot of overall team speed. And that really comes into play, Bill, is at the state tournament. The state tournament, we'll get into that, I'm sure, a little bit later. But you need to have 20 guys who can honestly help you, because that's how many you can take to the state tournament. And sure, you have 7 starters on offense and 7 on defense. But those last 6 guys, they've got to be able to play. Because it's just too hot, it's too fast, and it's too long to go with the same 7 guys all day. It's just like basketball. You can have a starting 5, but you got to have 5 more to play, too. So, you know, I'm really not big on, you know, naming players because I'd feel like I'd be leaving somebody out. But I can tell you, we had great senior leadership, and we had, as I said, a real nice team balance. And I think that's a reflection on Coach DeLay and his staff. These kids, they show up on time. They're ready to go. They're good kids. and they're in good condition. You know, I don't have to spend a lot of time telling them how to do things right or, gee, we need to run some more sprints at the end of practice. You're not in shape. Coach DeLay and his staff do a marvelous job of getting these kids, because let's face it, he's got them most of the year. I'm just in their verts, and they're pretty low maintenance.
Well, that sounds great, and I think you summed it up, and I like your style of trying not to leave out any names, whether it's the whole team or those that shined. And so we will take it as a complete team effort and a lot of great senior leadership. I think that's a great way to sum it up. So if you don't mind, just for a minute or two, tell us about some of the tournaments you entered, because I remember one time you mentioned to me previously that you were pretty selective about the tournaments that you entered the team in so that there was a high level of competition or something like that.
No, that's accurate, Bill. What we do, and a lot of schools don't do this for a couple of reasons, we enter nothing but state qualifying tournaments. Number one, the competition, as you suggested, is the best, because everybody in those tournaments has the same goal, as they want to qualify for the Texas 7-on-7 state championship. Most teams, once they get qualified, either drop out of the remainder of the tournament or try to play in local, maybe not call it a league, but maybe, you know, Arlington High might get together with Mark, just making up examples here, and every Tuesday night get together and have informal 7-on-7 games. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I prefer, and part of it's financial. You know, you got to pay $300 per tournament. So if you go to six tournaments, you're making an $1,800 to line up against, you know, other teams wearing their uniforms with, you know, regular football high school chapter referees. And we think it's worth it. Even once we've qualified, we'll drop out of an occasional tournament. For instance, I didn't take the kids out to Abilene after we'd qualified. The tournament was on a Friday. So you're talking about leaving at 4 a.m. on a Friday, parents having to take off work. So there's exceptions to that rule, but generally speaking, we'll play in five or six state qualifying tournaments so that we are playing in the same kind of environment that we'll be playing in College Station. One thing we did this year that the schedule let us do that I loved, and we'll do it again in the future if we can, there are more and more Friday tournaments, state qualifiers, as well as Saturday. And this year we were able to enter a Friday tournament, so take the kids over to Rowlett, and we won all three of our pool games. At that point, we were already qualified, so we couldn't advance any farther. And then the next morning, Saturday morning, got up and went to another qualifying event. This one happened to be up in Euless, or Bedford, rather, and we won all three of those games, and that was a tournament where we were in a pool that was all qualifiers, okay? So not only were we a little bit tired from Friday's, you know, 3-0 journey, we got up, went 3-0 on Saturday, and we were the only team that went back-to-back. And the reason I like that is because, again, that mimics what you see at the state tournament, which is the qualifying round is on Friday, and then the championship or consolation brackets are on Saturday. So everybody's got to get up sore, tired, and be ready to flip that switch and play again the next day. And so I wanted to stress the kids and see how they'd react. Well, they reacted 6-0, some pretty good opponents, DeSoto, Arlington High, along the way we beat this summer of the 13 regular season wins we had, Bill, six of them were against teams that ultimately qualified for the state tournament. So you can't mimic that, in our opinion, in a local league playing against the same teams over and over again. You also, things tend to get a little chippy when you play. Using my example earlier, if we play at Arlington High 10 weeks in a row, two games a week, I suspect somewhere along the line something might go wrong. So yeah. I like to line it up against against different schools each week with, you know, truly good officiating, not just a coach saying, well, I'll blow the whistle this week.
Sure.
Kind of thing. So,
well, it sounds like a strategy. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to just to sum that up, say our mission is to get to the state tournament. And so we kind of let that be our litmus test. We try to design everything we do, whether it's our practice routine, our game schedule, all around, how do we get ourselves first get qualified and then be able to do something, you know, that's significant once we get there.
Well, it sounds like your strategy of playing in those qualifying tournaments, even after you don't need to anymore, really paid off because, if I believe I'm correct, 19 years in a row, the only program that's made it to all 19 state tournaments, Lamar is. And that's a great reflection on you and everyone else who's been involved in the 7-on-7 program. And like you said, it reflects well on current Coach DeLay and his program and the discipline he instills in the kids. And it looks like y'all's strategy is going to pay off. We know this isn't tackle football, but it's preparing them with agility, conditioning, discipline, and the smarts to go out there and play good defense and good offense and build upon the speed and the talent when they can. Any other thoughts to add before we call this show?
Well, just two other things that I think your listeners might enjoy knowing, and that is you're correct. We have qualified 19 years in a row. We are the only team out of 1,400 high schools in the state of Texas to do that. But I'm equally proud of the fact, Bill, that there are teams, we've never, ever qualified in a home tournament. We have always, all 19 of those years, we qualified at somebody else's tournament. So we're, you know, on the road as a visitor. And I think that toughens us up. You know, it'd be a little bit like saying, well, the Cowboys have been in the playoffs 19 years in a row, never had a home game. It does make a difference. You've got to play on somebody else's field and somebody else's environment that you've maybe never been to before. And to have the Lamar Vikings all these years not only qualify, but frankly, the host school most of the time, not always, but most of the time, Bill, that what one of the things they get to do as a host school is they get to decide who's in what pool. So I think you can imagine that the host school tends to have, I'm saying this with a smile on my face, a much easier road to hoe to get through pool play and into the qualifying rounds than the visiting Lamar Vikings, who everyone would like to knock off with last thing in. Well, that's good. We embrace that. It makes us tougher. And when we finally do go to College Station, I can tell the kids, honestly, you've seen what you need to see. Nothing down here is going to be any different.
Well, I appreciate you explaining that to all the listeners, because that does add more clarity and give a lot more credibility even than there was before, if that's possible. So, yes.
And the last, as mentioned, I had two things. The last thing I'll tell you is the other thing I'm really proud of as it relates to not just getting to the state tournament, but competing when you get there. Of those 19 years, I'm going to back this statement up. Of the 14 years that I've coached, 12 of those, we've made it to the championship bracket. I mean, we either won our pool on the Friday down there or we finished second. And, you know, that's, I don't know what the math is, but that's probably 80 or 90% of the time. Not only do the Lamar Vikings go down there, but they advance to the championship bracket. And then in four of those 14 trips that I've made down there with the team, we've made it to the Final Four. Now, we haven't yet won one, but we've tied for third of four times, and we've been to the quarterfinals a couple of times. So my point being is that, and I think that's what all that state qualifying, you know, games that we play gets us ready to go down there, not to just say, hey, we made it, but we're going to do something about it.
Well, that sure adds a lot more even still to how successful the program has been year in and year out. And that shows part of why the Lamar football team is so successful come the fall, because of all this work and everything else that goes into it. Well, thank you very much, Jim, for your work with the young men and for joining us today on this special edition of the Lamar Football Coaches Show. We're all looking forward to the 2016 Lamar Viking football season, which includes the new UIL district realignment. For football, that means Weatherford has moved west to District 3, and Mansfield has moved into District 4 with Lamar and the other teams. Our next coach's show will feature Lamar head coach Laban DeLay, and we'll be doing that in the near future. Until then, VFND.